And now, broadcasting from their secret hideout, Checkpoint XP presents a show about comic books and superheroes. Robbie Landis, Joe Sloan, The Other Identity.
Welcome, everyone, once again to the Secret Bungalow, home of the fearless Great Landis and the negligible Joe Boy. How's everybody doing today?
I think negligible is about the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
All right. Well, I guess we're making a little bit of progress.
Yeah, because negligible is not, like, bad. It's just you're unimportant.
Well, you know, if you start pulling your weight creatively around here, maybe we can upgrade you to a better adjective.
No, I'm good with negligible.
Well, it's not staying negligible. It'll change.
I feel like that would be a good title on a comic, the Negligible Joe Boy.
he's here.
He's
whatever.
Here. Yeah. Like, you got the Spectacular Spider-Man and the Negligible Joe Boy.
Welcome, guys, into The Other Identity. We appreciate you coming and hanging out with us today. How's everybody doing? What's everybody's plans for the weekend? We would love to know, but we're not going to talk about them here because we have another topic to get to.
We do. Very important one.
And for the first time in...
and maybe since, like, episode two?
20-something episode. I don't even know if we've gotten that far yet. But since the inception of the show, we are going to talk about a comic book itself.
A specific book.
Specifically.
We have talked about what's your favorite comic book of all time. We have done that. But typically, yeah, we don't talk about, like, literally a comic book very often.
That's correct. But to be fair, I think the reason is we don't really have a whole lot of time or money to invest in comics themselves, right?
Well, I think the other part of it is that we do a once-a-week show, and frankly, the movie and TV show news frequently is the more... You know, the more coveted news a lot of
that's
the time.
Fair, and it carries a lot of stuff as well.
Right.
But for the first time, you know, a new comic has started. I read it, you know, as did you now at my request.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's worth talking about, and that is Spider-Man number one by J.J. Abrams and Son.
Did you spell it Abrahams?
Maybe, I don't know.
I think you spelled it Abrahams.
You know what? People on the podcast don't know that. You know, I'm just going to put J.J.
That's fair.
By
J. Jonah J.J.
Yes. So, yes, J.J. Abrams, of course, who most people know because of his work on...
Star Wars.
Star Trek. And before that, he was the creative mind behind Lost, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure was.
Yeah. So he's now into comics. Both him and his son have started with Marvel, this new Spider-Man. And it doesn't... focus on Peter. Peter is not the Spider-Man anymore.
Is it worth putting out a spoiler alert for this episode?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, if you are interested in reading the number one issue of Spider-Man,
do so.
I mean, not that, like, us talking about it's going to ruin the book for you. It's actually a very good book.
Yes,
either way.
Correct.
But yeah, you know, we're going to talk about what's in that book, so be
yes.
prepared.
Yeah. So it in the book really does, being the first issue, feel more like I was getting mixed up epilogue and prologue. Which one's comes first?
Prologue.
The prologue really feels more like more of a prologue than like the real like start to a story.
Well,
right.
I mean, they found somehow managed to do yet another origin story and not piss me off with it because it's not Peter Parker's origin story.
Right. So just to give like a really, you know, quick sort of brief overview of the stuff that we're going to be talking about here is the book starts off. There's some type of battle that's happening on a bridge in New York somewhere.
Yes.
Mary Jane's there, you know, running through some of the wreckage. You know, we see Peter there. She obviously knows that he's Spider-Man.
Yeah, she's helping Peter basically crawl out of some wreckage.
Right.
At the beginning of it.
His arm, one of his arms is just absolutely mangled.
I mean, it's down to the bone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In a lot of spots, it's just bone.
Yeah. And you see this new villain who we later will come to be known as Cadaverous. And he's
Cadaverous,
like,
yeah.
He's like this weird, it's like a
amalgamation
of like mechanical, but also like some... some organic type
stuff. If you know Dark Souls, he reminds me of Gravelord Nito in a lot of ways.
And he has all these robots along with him as well.
Yeah, he looks like a mixture, like a cyborg version of a Sentinel from like the X-Men
universe. There you
go.
That's a good description. And anyway, Mary Jane's telling him, we have to run. You know, you can't do this anymore. You have like new responsibilities. It's not the same, is what she says. It's not the same anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, Cadaverous comes up. He goes in to fight more and tells her to run. And then you get a scene of Cadaverous impaling Mary Jane
yeah.
throwing her off the bridge. And then you see a funeral scene, and you see a bunch of familiar people there, including one unfamiliar person. You see a small boy about 7-ish years
yep.
old, who
yep.
it gives a close-up on, and then it cuts to 12 years later.
Yep. And I mean, we pick up 12 years later with Ben Parker,
mm-hmm.
now in sophomore year of high school,
yep.
I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Starting to learn that he has spider powers.
Yeah, it's really interesting because it doesn't just outright show it, because I don't even think that he really realizes it until he pulls the door off.
Well, but I don't know if he realizes, but he does know he's inhumanly strong already.
Sure,
because like
he throws the bully through the door.
Right, he sees a bully like picking on another kid. But when he walks up to him, the other guy goes, back off, freak. So something has happened before.
See, but this is really interesting how they do this and how they build up to eventually him waking up on his ceiling, sticking yeah. to his ceiling, is there's a lot of similarities to obviously how Peter went through high school, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because even before he had his powers, they were still calling him a freak, right? So that in itself isn't necessarily an admission of he's starting to see changes, or he's starting to notice his powers and stuff like that, right? And they show these real sort of gradual build-ups to it. But it's really cool because while we're also learning that something isn't quite normal with him, we're also learning a bit more about his school life, his personal life. You know, he's obviously still a nerd and outcast, just like his father was. He's been getting into trouble recently. You know, they said it's only Tuesday, and this is the fourth time that you've been in the office now.
Right.
Right. So he has a compulsion to help people.
Even if he goes about it the best way possible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you see Peter ends up picking him up from school, and he's surprised that he's there. He says that he happens to be flying through. Peter at this point has a prosthetic arm, a prosthetic limb.
He has a hook.
A hook.
Yeah.
Well it's like one of those little claspy hooks.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Grab things with. You know, you can tell that the relationship is strained. Peter's not around a whole lot. He takes him home, drops him off at Aunt May's, where he pulls the door off.
Aunt May, still kicking,
still
by the
kicking.
Way. That woman
refuses to go down.
I'll say,
refuses to go down.
She looks about the same. She's a little bit older.
Yeah.
They drew her a little older mm-hmm. than you would see in a Spider-Man comic. But
for sure.
Yeah, no, Aunt May is hanging on with the best of them.
Yep.
But yeah, so Ben goes obviously home. Him and Peter have a huge falling out on the mm-hmm. way home.
Well, I don't know if I mean, it seems like this is something that happens quite often,
yeah,
right?
They argue
because I mean, when it ends, he's basically just let me out here. I'll walk. It's not like, you know, drag out, you know, Knuckles and
right. But they
you know,
but
the
they
dirt.
Definitely are arguing on the way home.
Right.
Ben says something just like, "Since when would you know anything about helping anybody?"
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, Ben does not have the highest opinion of Peter.
Nope.
And Peter,
who apparently travels a lot for his job.
Yeah, for whatever his job is, we don't know
yep.
what it is.
Which we also get a phone call between him and Aunt May, who's trying to talk some sense into him, and he essentially just, you know, I got to go. Plane's taken off. Hangs up. So
yeah. Peter's running away from something.
Exactly.
Well,
and
we know from
well,
what, but.
Yeah, yeah. But what's cool is, you know, we're still seeing similarities between the original Spider-Man origin story.
Yes,
right.
A lot of. I mean, we have the Ben playing Peter's character, the freak. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We have our bully Flash Thompson equivalent. We have
Aunt May's obviously still there, who's still raising Peter.
Who is raising? Yes, the Peter character in this time. We have the nerdy kid that Peter helps.
Mm-hmm.
Who I guess what you call like the Ned, maybe.
Sure.
We don't know if he'll be involved in the story any further than he was in this one. We also are introduced to our Mary Jane equivalent, Ito.
I believe was her name.
Yeah,
yep.
Ito.
Mm-hmm. Who has a rebellious streak.
She has a rebellious streak and green paint on her.
Yep.
They will remind you that she has green paint on her.
Yep. And then, you know, where it ends up ending for the episode or for the issue.
What if she's She-Hulk's daughter?
Why would she have green paint?
They just kept referencing green paint constantly. I'm like, maybe it's a foreshadowing.
She had paint on
I understand,
her.
But he kept saying green paint every time.
Just, I think they're just trying to have like an awkward teenage
right.
interaction.
Weird interaction.
Right. But where it ends up obviously ending with is, again, he pulls the door off. You know, Aunt May sees that, and then he wakes up in a nightmare, having seen his mother, Mary Jane, covered in blood everywhere, wanting to help her. He wakes up stuck to the ceiling as Aunt May comes in and doesn't seem all that fazed about it, and sends him up to the attic and tells him to start looking through some boxes. And while he's up there, he finds Peter's old Spider-Man suit.
So clearly we can infer from this, obviously Aunt May was aware of Peter's identity, whether he confessed who he was when he hung it up or whether he did so earlier on. I guess we don't know. But Aunt May basically says, well, it's time for you. Your spider powers have manifested. It's time for you to become Spider-Man.
Right.
Like a responsible guardian would.
There's a lot to unpack here. There's a lot to potentially talk about. And I think where I want to start is I love this. I absolutely love this. You know, I want to just really quick harken back to something that Ben Morris said when we had him on the episode last week about what they did with One More Day, where like, we don't have any more stories to tell about Peter Parker. And while people may not like the whole storyline with Aunt May coming back and Mephisto and Mary Jane, blah, 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 it'll put us in a better position to tell more stories about Peter Parker. But what I love about this is that you're still telling a story about Peter, but you're also finding a way to let us move on. You're bringing somebody else in to now take over the spotlight. And I feel like in the past, they've had mixed success when trying to make a new insert hero here, because everyone loves their version of the hero, and they don't just want to see them replaced, right? There's resentment in that. But with doing this, I think you're staying true to the character. You're not replacing them. And, you know, you're keeping things kind of going forward. And you know what? We'd love to know what you guys think. So let us know. You can check on us at obviously all of our social medias, Checkpoint XP on Twitter and Facebook. And if you're not catching us live, you should be at twitch.tv/Checkpoint XP. So let's talk a little bit about why this use of the origin story or this way to reboot Spider-Man is a bit more intelligent than the normal way they would do it, where you know, might just be like, oh, something happened and now X is the new Thor.
Right. I think you kind of hit on it as we were going into the break there, is that so often when we get these reboots or these new characters, it is very much just like, the original hero died and now someone's taken over. You know, we see that with the Green Lantern a lot. Hal Jordan did the whole, was it Parallax thing? And then John Stewart took over after that. So a lot of the times what you see is, you know, the character that we knew and loved either dies or becomes the villain and then someone else takes over, which first of all requires the audience to both accept a new character in that role and the loss of their old favorite character. What we see here is, I think, a little bit more natural way of doing it is just saying, like, you know, Peter, eventually you can't be Spider-Man forever. You can't be Spider-Man for eternity. Eventually, Peter hung it up. And whether that was because of the injury or the loss of Mary Jane, I imagine we'll explore that in future issues. We don't know just yet. But what we see is, you know, very naturally, his son, who has the same powers, as it turns out, is going to eventually step into that role.
Well, and we don't lose out on Peter as a character as a result of this. In fact, now we get to see him in a way that I don't think anyone's ever dreamed of seeing him. You know, he's an adult. He's going to obviously in some way end up being a mentor to Ben,
yes,
I'm sure.
I would hope.
Yeah, oh, right.
2 ways ago, he either ends up being a mentor or a villain to him. Either could be really interesting, depending on how they tell it.
Yes, I definitely think the mentor role. I think that now we get to see how Peter ended up, because you know a lot of the ways that we've grown up with Spider-Man, and again Ben starting in those shoes as a teenager in high school, right? It's not very often I think that we get to see or we'll get to see how now as an adult who's grown up, who's had to reconcile all the things he's gone through, both as a kid, teenager, and as an adult, how all of that ends up affecting him. Because now he gets to look at his son who's stepping into the role, whether he wants him to or not. Peter should know you can't stop him. It's happening, right?
Yeah. He's got the powers. Like, what are you going to do?
Right. So how does that manifest now? How does he impart wisdom onto his son, because I don't think that Peter, after even after the Mary Jane thing, because he's lost people before, been his fault before, so I don't think that he's just going to suddenly flip a switch and be like, no, don't help people, you only lose stuff. Because in the car he says this isn't the way to go about it.
Yeah, if you want to help people, this isn't the way to go. He's more talking about the methodology than the actual concept of helping people. And of course Ben Parker yells back, you know, oh, what would you know about helping people, when's the last time you helped anyone? Which of course he's going to find out now at the end of the book. Oh, my dad was Spider-Man.
Oh, it's going to be. Oh, I can't wait for issue two. Just to see how he tries to reconcile that.
So two ways again. You can go about. There could be a moment of like wonder, like, oh my god, I need to talk to my dad about this. I need to understand. You know why? What changed? Well, there could be a lot of anger about.
Why did he never tell me?
Why didn't he tell me? And more importantly, like, you know, why did you hang it up? Like there's a lot of difficult things to like to process with that. So we're going to get to see that hopefully in the second issue. I would hope for that anyway. But one of the things that I want to see as we, you know, keep moving on in the story, at least for Ben, is I don't want it to just be him, you know, going up against Peter's rogue's gallery of villains.
I don't know that I want
a whole new run of villains for him. Find out what happened to some of Peter's villains.
I don't know that you can, because again, when Peter was fighting a lot of his villains as a teenager, they were already adults.
Now they're going to be. They should be relatively old. Aunt May should probably be dead.
I think in some cases you might be able to argue stuff like maybe Doc Connors as the Lizard, just with the way that his biology is. Maybe he doesn't age as much. Maybe you can find
Norman with the super soldier.
Maybe there are certain characters that you can reintroduce, but I think that we should absolutely, just like we're seeing Peter in a different sort of era and a different stage of life, you know, we should see some of the more reluctant villains like Doc Ock in, you know, older, in what role they end up playing, you know, whether or not sort of in their older age, you know, they've come to realize, like imagine if Peter and Doc Ock now are like, you know, he's obviously still in prison, I would hope.
Are
pen pals now, or like Peter goes to visit Doc Ock to like, you know, get some advice.
Right.
Like, I don't want him living the life that you and I did. You know, how do I stop it? Like,
what if,
like,
Doc Ock makes him a new arm? octopus arm.
There is all, just like we're seeing a new path for Peter, we could also see some really cool and interesting paths for the old villains. You know, what's J. Jonah Jameson up to nowadays? Who's running the Bugle now? I mean, it's probably a blog site at this point, but
what they went in the video game.
Yeah, but you're right. There does also need to be a new sort of gallery for Ben.
Needs to be a new arch nemesis, right? Like, Ben needs his own arch nemesis who plays on Ben's character.
Well, he's going to make his own way, and just like, you know, Peter made a lot of mistakes, you know, early on that led to, you know, sometimes the creation of his own villains and in his own nightmares. You know, I think we're definitely going to see the same thing in Ben. Again, there's a lot of really nice and I think meticulously planned parallels between Ben and Peter's origins, right?
Oh yeah,
it is a retelling of Spider-Man, even though we're not like rebooting it or going back or recreating history,
right?
But there's still a lot of really great parallels.
Well, and I think there's a good opportunity here. I obviously don't know what Abrams' inspirations are for this book. That's for him to know. But I think there's a book in the DC universe actually that he could take some real inspiration from and do this very well, and it's Batman Beyond.
I was thinking earlier, and I was going to bring it up, that you're right, this isn't the first time that technically this has happened within the comics universe.
Oh, yeah.
Batman
Beyond was a brilliant telling of the next generation of Batman, because we've seen it when they've tried to do the death of Batman before, where Bruce Wayne dies, and then maybe it's Dick Grayson who takes over, or it's Damian Wayne who takes over, and it's never really accepted. I mean, the comics were okay, they were decently well written, but they were never truly accepted into the canon. Dick Grayson was still Robin or Nightwing, usually people referred to him. They didn't think of him as Batman.
Well, I will say, though, that the DC, especially within the Batman universe, has done a very good job of at least establishing more than just Batman and growing out like the whole Bat family.
Oh, yeah. But what we saw with Batman Beyond, and I think the reason that it worked very well, is because Bruce Wayne was still an integral part of it. He was the mentor now to...
They didn't just get rid of him.
Right. And literally, they showed it like in the first episode of Batman Beyond, you see Batman, Bruce Wayne's last day as Batman, where he starts having a heart problem or a heart attack during a routine bust, and he has to like end up using a gun to scare off the criminal who's on him, and he's like, all right, that's it for me, I'm done. And then, you know, flash forward 20 years, and we've got old man Bruce Wayne now coaching Terry McGinnis. everyone loved that.
Well, and again, that because that's the way you have to do it. When you just bring somebody in and you're like, all right, we're retiring, you know, Doctor Strange, and this person's the new Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
If he's gone, there are people who are probably going to enjoy it. And even if it's a great book, that's fine. But there's still going to be a lot of people like, that's not my Doctor Strange, and so I'm not on board with it.
Right.
But if you still have them on in some capacity, I think people are more willing to go along with it because now they get to see their favorite hero in a new light and taking on a new role.
Right. And I think that's what we're seeing here. We're going to get to see Peter working with Ben, and you know, whether he ever dons the Spider-Man costume again, I don't know, but we're going to get to see him playing a part in the story, and that's going to, I think, help people accept the new Spider-Man.
Yeah. I'd like to thank everybody that's watching or listening to us, depending on if you're tuning in live over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp, or if you're listening to us on the podcast. We appreciate it. Either way, we're talking about J.J. Abrams and Sons' new Spider-Man number one, and I think where this takes us next is, what does the future of this series look like? Where would you like to see it go? What would you like to see both Ben and Peter sort of end up getting into? And more importantly, who the hell is in that weird-ass tube with Cadaverous?
Yeah, because it looks like Mr. Freeze's wife is probably in there.
It's vague enough that it could be literally anyone.
I know. I looked at it for the first, and I stared at the image for quite a while trying to figure out, I'm like, is that Mary Jane?
Both me and my girlfriend Katie, that's where our minds immediately went. Because I feel like, As much of a part of Spider-Man's mythos as Mary Jane is, and obviously it's going to be a big part of Ben because it's his mom, right? So I don't think that they just kill her, you know, for the origin of the story and then they never go back
to
it.
Right, she's dead in the first four pages and that's just it.
No, and I also think that Abrams is a lot smarter than to waste her like that. Now, whether or not she's in the tube or not, I think depends on what Cadaverous's intentions are.
I think part of it, I think the use that we'll see of Mary Jane throughout this story is very much going to be what we saw in this issue. It's whether it's dream sequences or whatnot, protecting his mother is kind of going to be like his pathos almost. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously his mother's dead, but the fact that, you know, no one was able to save her, I think again, to draw a parallel to Batman, it's almost going to be that kind of pathos. I couldn't save my parents, but maybe I can keep that from happening.
My dad couldn't save my mother.
Yeah.
But now that I have the powers, I'm going to be better than what he was.
Yes, exactly. That could be a very powerful driving influence for him and could be very interesting, but they have to use that sparingly. They can't have every issue have Mary Jane showing up in a dream sequence.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Of course not. Do you think that we'll get a moment where Peter passes on that old Uncle Ben wisdom to Ben?
I think it would be a huge missed opportunity to not do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, as cheesy and hokey as it would be, it wouldn't feel right if we don't hear that line. Like, it was the guiding principle for Spider-Man's character for the entire series. And there could be a great deal of intrigue around that line this time because Peter's going to have to pass that lesson on to Ben, fully knowing that he didn't follow that creed to the end, that he eventually walked away from that creed. Mm-hmm. So there'll be an air of hypocrisy about it when he says it. And maybe that'll be, you know, the message to Ben is something to the effect of like, listen, with great power comes great responsibility. That is a creed that I could not follow on you, but you can be better than me.
I think honestly, the part that I'm most excited about is to just see what this dynamic and this interplay between Ben and Peter is going to be. I mean, you know, we got a little bit of where the relationship is thus far with like the fighting and blah, 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 blah. And I hope they don't stick with that too much, right? Because one of my biggest pet peeves when it comes to, you see it the most in TV shows or comics when you have a team,
right,
is focusing on inter-team like rivalries or problems and stuff, right?
Drama.
When I watch my heroes, I want to see them fight the villains. Now, obviously, there will always still be drama within the team.
For sure.
But I feel like it gets really old really fast when all your team's doing is fighting all the time.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it, like, I think I go back to, like, Teen Titans, and you'd see it, like, for an episode at a time where someone on the team would have an issue
with
someone else. But, I mean, that was also their teenagers. They're going to argue.
And usually by the end, they resolve it.
They resolve it. Now, we did see this on a bit more of a long-term basis with something like Young Justice, where, I mean, almost an entire season was dedicated to, you know, mistrust and issues amongst the team. Which, again, the whole series was built around trying to get these people to work together, so it kind of worked. Yeah, I don't know that I need 12 issues of Peter and Ben kind of being at each other's throats. I don't need 12 issues of Ben
of them or arguing like, and yeah, then one of them walking off.
Right, exactly. You've set, and really, if I have any criticism of the first book, is that you set a lot of stuff up very quickly. The pacing of this book is insane. Like, all the plot points we've hit on, it's worth noting, that's done in like 21 pages.
Yeah, well, and that's why I said that to me, it felt a little bit more like an epilogue.
A prologue
than anything else, because it did kind of jump from like boom, 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 really, really quickly. Right. And I do think that that was intentional.
Well, I get like the idea for Abrams of not wanting to spend, because it's an origin story that we have ostensibly seen before, even if it's different. I get him not wanting to spend 4 or 5 issues telling that origin story again.
Well, and I think,
here's the origin story in an issue to get us to where you need to be. Now we can begin the story.
I think just like the most recent Spider-Man films all kind of felt like a big origin. I think we'll see a similar arc with Ben, but I think that this issue was set up to be like that, to give you a lot of sensory overload and shock as you kind of like add everything up. Because you go and you pick up Spider-Man number one, you're expecting to see Peter Parker as Spider-Man and to get hit with all of these things. And by the end of it, just be like, you're actually kind of left with the same sort of feeling that Ben is probably feeling right there at the end when he's holding a Spider-Man costume with all these pictures. Is
not to mention with all the holes in it.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I mean, it's true, and I mean the sensory overload, as you put it, is very prominent in this issue. I remember when she pulls Peter out of the wreckage and you see his arm for the first time. I literally had like the Deadpool moment. Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, like I had a few times like, where I'm looking back on it and I'm like, ooh, oh no.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. Yeah.
So I'm excited. It's been a while since I've been excited for a comic that's still in the process of coming out, and now I have to worry about waiting for like a month at a time for each issue.
And that really is always the problem. Like, even when I was reading like comics all the time, I would always like, I had a point where I was subscribed to, I think, 9-10 different series or something at my local comic shop.
Boy.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Boy, it sure was. especially if you start getting some alternate covers. Oh, man. But even when I was, then I wouldn't get the comic and read it immediately. It was always, I'm going to bank 4 or 5 issues and then go get a quick, get a fix, get a story arc going or something like that. And then occasionally you have one that's just really good where you're like, nope, that's getting read as soon as it comes out every week. Yep. But yeah, I'm bummed out. I have to wait a month for issue 2, which I think is one of the biggest compliments you can pay a comic book.
For sure.
You finish a book and you're like, cool, I'll read the next one when it comes out. I mean, okay, great. But really you want people thinking like, oh my God, I gotta wait a month for another one. That sucks.
Yeah, well, look,
I felt that
guys,
way with Batman White Knight.
Look, guys, I know we always say it, but honestly, this time, for real, we want to know what you think. If you haven't had a chance to check out Spider-Man number 1 by J.J. Abrams and Son, please go and do it. Give it a read. Let us know on social medias, what you think. That's Checkpoint XP on Twitter and on Facebook. And you can also, tweet directly at me and Joe. That's Robbie_Landis CP for myself and Escalia, Eskalia for Joe. We'd love to know what you guys think. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Are you looking forward to it? This is probably something as it goes on that, we'll keep track of and kind of talk about. So, definitely get your hands on it and join us for our talks going forward, guys. But that's going to be it for The Other Identity. Joe, take us away.
Will Aunt May learn to be a better guardian? Will J. Jonah Abrams stay on a hot streak? Tune in next time, same Twitch channel.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.